This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Bordinaro from the Hartford Business Journal joining us here on Brian and Company. Let's start off with the, I guess they call it the betting lounge at the XL Center. You know, listen, we want them to be successful. Matt and I have been there. The location, in my opinion, is terrible, and nobody knows it's there, and I think the results kind of speak for themselves.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a neat spot in terms of the venue itself. So, you know, year one, which was last year, they go by a fiscal year, which ends June 30th, they lost $500,000. And now they're tracking basically a loss of $200,000 in the current fiscal year. Right now, board members of the Capital Region Development Authority, which is a quasi-public agency that oversees development, and right now oversees the sports betting lounge, is they're starting to question whether this is a good business to be in. I think there's a couple of issues with the venue. First, you know, sports betting is really easy to do by phone. So I think it's really hard to draw people to a sports betting lounge just for the sports betting. You know, having the kiosk there, I don't think that's really the trick. I think it needs to be really a cool sports bar to really draw people there. And right now they use sort of, you know, stadium food. They have upgraded some of the food, but I think what it needs to turn into is a cool sports restaurant type of place, sports bar. Hartford actually doesn't have one right now. So, you know, this could be the place to be. So I think they really do have to pivot the business model a little bit and maybe bring in a sports bar. Now, there are some restrictions because of the contracts that they currently have in place with some of the vendors at the XL Center. But I'm not sure how many more years they'll take of losses before they really try to rethink what they're doing.
I don't know
there.
Why they sign into these deals, because, I mean, you're right in the sense that, I mean, especially with the NCAA basketball tournament, you could make some great event-driven stuff to bring people in and have some promotions, and I don't the way it's constructed now, if they don't have flexibility to try new stuff, I don't know how it becomes something that sticks around. And I want it to. I wish it was on Trumbull. I don't know, but so there's no direct plans to shutter it, but
they're not going to shut it. They're going to continue to shrink hours and pursue other cost cutting measures. But that's not going to do anything to draw more people to the venue. So, you know, you can cut costs, but, you know, we all know that there's industries that continue to cut, and there's no strategy to increase the top line. Now there is one caveat: the Oakview Group, which is a stadium operator, arena operator based in California, they're taking over management soon of the XL Center, and they're going to be on the hook for any losses at the XL Center, including at the sports betting lounge. So maybe they come in and reinvigorate what it is. A private entity probably will have more success than a quasi-public agency that really has no experience running a sports lounge or a restaurant. So maybe that will be the change that's needed.
Listen, we're talking with, of course, Greg Bordinaro from the Hartford Business Journal and the Connecticut Business Blend every Monday here at 8:50. You know, they're legally schools, universities can pay players now, and I guess the board at UConn approved it. I don't really understand how it's supposed to work. Is it going to be budgeted money they give to players, or they share revenue? Because, I mean, if it's a revenue thing, UConn Athletics doesn't have a ton of revenue, at least in terms of positive cash flow. It's not a profitable athletic department.
Yeah, so yeah, that's one of my questions. I think I'm not sure, but they may be able to get outside booster money involved in some of this too. I'm not 100% sure, especially on the endorsement deal. So basically, what the Board of Trustees did last week is they approved giving the athletic director the power to sign endorsement contracts with players and also enter into revenue sharing agreements. This follows what the legislator did about a month ago. They allow the same thing. So as far as I'm concerned, I think that UConn now has full clearance to do this. Now, there is a court case that needs to be finalized. There was an agreement at the end in October last year that the NCAA and the Power Five conferences, which are the big NCAA, conferences, they struck a deal to do some back pay for former athletes who didn't get paid and things like that. Also, they're going to come up with an NIL enforcement agency, name, image, and likeness enforcement agency, which will be interesting to see how that is. That case is scheduled to be heard again next week for that settlement to be approved. Once that settlement is approved, as far as I understand it, that this revenue sharing and schools paying players could kick in. So this is actually, we're on the brink of this right now. But yeah, I'm not sure how this is going to impact UConn, which has run deficits in its athletic departments for a long time, largely because of football, the struggles that the football program has had, and how expensive a football program is. So I'm not sure how this is all going to shake out. And obviously, this is important for the basketball program, in order to achieve its high level success that it's had in the last few years, to be able to recruit these top players.
We just saw Maryland lose their coach after a great season because they weren't doing enough in NIL to pay players, so we went to a university that promised more money to pay players. I mean, this is the reality of our college sports world.
I do think that this structure is really going to put into greater context, what to do with the UConn football program. You got to pay football players, basketball players, women and men's, maybe even other sports. That pool of money is going to be shrinking even further. Are there going to be even tougher questions that are going to have to be answered about the football program?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think they're still hunting around for a conference to join, and there's some chatter that the ACC might be back in the mix. We're talking with Greg Bordenero from the Hartford Business Journal here on the Connecticut Business Blend. I find a lot of on the macro, the national corporations, the tariff stuff hasn't fed through, but companies are already changing their behavior. But is there already an impact of, because we don't even know what tariffs are in or out or whatever, but there's already an impact here in Connecticut?
So I think the impact is the uncertainty that these tariffs and also the impact of tariffs like inflation are having. I don't even know what tariffs are in effect right now or not.
Not me neither.
It seems to change daily. But what I do think it is causing a bit of a chilling effect with employers. What kind of capital are they going to deploy? Where are they going to deploy it? How many people are they going to hire? I think that has had an impact. And so the economic data that's been coming out of Connecticut, frankly, is a little bit all over the place. It doesn't paint a clear picture in my mind. So Connecticut lost 1,200 jobs in February, according to preliminary numbers. Also, originally, Connecticut gained 2,300 jobs in January, but the Department of Labor downgraded that to 1,500 job gains. Employment rate ticked up a little bit to 3.4%, still pretty low when you look back historically. And then our GDP growth in the fourth quarter was 1.8%, which was bottom rung, 41st in the U.S. For the full year last year, we did okay, 2.6% growth, which was ranked, I think it was like 23rd, not bad for Connecticut. But on the flip side, there's still 92,000 job openings in Connecticut. That number increased significantly at the end of last year. You would figure if there's uncertainty, that employers would be hiring less, not more.
Right.
So it doesn't explain why there was a big jump in job openings in the state, unless there was a massive wave of retirements at the end of last year. So the jobs data, the sort of economic data for Connecticut right now is a little bit all over the place in my mind. But I do think there is a lot of uncertainty out there, and uncertainty is never good for businesses.
I don't know if you have an answer to this, but how does that growth number compare to the cohort here in New England?
So Connecticut, in terms of the 1.8% GDP growth, Connecticut was second to last. Only Vermont had slower growth. And Connecticut really doesn't want to be, compared to Vermont. Although, for the full year, if you look at the full year of 2024, actually Connecticut fared better compared to the New England states as one of the faster growers, actually. So, you're looking really where, if you want to predict where things are headed, you want to look at the most recent data on that 1.8% in the fourth quarter. That's the most recent data to look at, maybe where things are going to be going moving forward this year.
Got it. All right, Greg, again, you can go to hartfordbusiness.com to get all these stories, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, the content is fantastic. We appreciate the time, Greg.
All right, thanks, Brian.